Listen, the 23rd Psalms is one, let me see here, it is one of the greatest biblical gems in the Bible. Yeah, it is absolutely one of the spectacular diamonds that you will find in the Bible. And it has introduced many a folk to the Word of God. And the reason I can say that, because I remember that was one of the first verses I learned, was the 23rd Psalms. You know, and so when you think about learning the 23rd Psalms, we have to be careful not to allow it to, because we've known it for so long, to take us out of the mindset that there's still something else there that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. If someone were to create a collection of spiritual classics, the 23rd Psalm, it absolutely has to be part of the collection. Right. It has to be part of that collection. It has to be. Children learn the 23rd Psalms as they are running around the dinner table, as they are riding in the car with mom and dad, as they attend Sunday school and midweek service with their family. You know, I remember I grew up with my grandfather, and my grandfather established in our family where we always, before we ate, we always had to say grace. Now, here's the thing. It just wasn't one person saying grace for the entire family. Everybody around our table had to go around and say a verse. That's right. Everybody, and that's how I learned Scripture, because different verses would come out. That's how I learned different scriptures. And so as we sat around the table, it'd be my mom, my aunt, it'd be my grandmother, it'd be me, it'd be my grandfather who did all the cooking. And we would, as we get ready to eat, we would recite verses. And one of the verses was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it rings back to me. I remember in that small dining room, and that was home. That was home. That was some of the times right there we sat and talked. And as a child, I stayed in a child's place. I just listened. I attended to the conversation. I understood that there were some things that I couldn't chime in on. But that scripture resonated with me because I learned it as such an early age. And what you have to remember is that every major holiday and celebration has some semblance of the 23rd Psalm in the program. That's right. Every time you turn around, there's something that is said, that is done, that can relate back to the 23rd Psalm. It's a jewel of the Old Testament. You see, depth and strength underlie the simplicity of this psalm. Yeah, peace embedded in this scripture is not connected to a situation. Let me repeat that for you. Let me repeat that for you, because I want to make sure you get this. Peace is embedded in the scripture, but it's not connected to running away from a situation. In other words, there are some people who gain their peace by running. Mm-hmm. There are some people who gain, I can relax now, by running away from the situation. This is not that. The contentment of the scripture, the contentment of the scripture is not about being complacent. It's not about settling for whatever. My goodness, the practicality of this passage of scripture is valuable to every Bible reader, because it shows us how this scripture can guide us through every valley, through everything we go to. It can guide us through the hard times of life. It can guide us through the things that we experience. It can guide us through the things that we come against. And if you forget everything else, amen, you can go back to the 23rd Psalms and begin, because there's a verse for you for every situation that you're going through. And so it can guide you through every valley. It can guide you into everlasting peace. It can give you the joy that you're looking for. Martin Luther, the Bible scholar, the Bible giant, was once quoted saying that the hinge of this psalm is the word my. Yeah, M-Y. And so this word my carries a tremendous understanding of life, and that more abundantly. And so when you understand that this word my, it becomes personal. And so for the next three weeks, we are going to dig into the 23rd Psalm, two verses at a time. Because I want to take time to make sure that we are breaking it down so that you can get everything you need from it. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the 23rd Psalm, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2 today. Amen. And it says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Stop. That's it. Right? He leads me beside the still waters. Stop. That's it. Almost went in right there. I almost went in, because that second verse is so strong. The first and the second verse are just tremendous. But that second verse, just for some reason, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm just, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When nothing else could help, hallelujah, the Lord allowed me to lie down. And I'm going to explain that later. So we're going to break that down. So it's in me. Look, Johnny, Elder Ray told me, he said, you're going to end up shouting. I'm trying not to get my shout on right now. I'm trying not to go in. We just starting to broadcast, but I absolutely want to go on, but I'm not. I'm going to stop right there, verses 1 and 2. So listen, I want to talk to you about it. Have you ever experienced a person, listen to me now, who was driven to success? They have energy, they have business savvy, they have street smarts, they have education, and a knack for being at the right place at the right time. They know what buttons to push to get the right deal to make the most money at the moment it is available. Listen to me now. This person, right, because they're making it, they're successful. This person makes it to the pinnacle. They make it to the pinnacle, to the apex, to the summit, to the peak, the high point of the business world, right, in whatever area that they're operating in. They are, by the world's standards, successful. Listen to me now. But on his or her way up, they left something out. Help me, Holy Ghost. They forgot about themselves. They were not happy. They didn't have any friends, no family, or they lost their family. They were simply just successful. They were only successful. And because this person is only successful, this person is always, listen to me, nervous, extremely tense, becomes annoyed at the slightest thing, and ultimately gets ill from the amount of stress they are under. So they go to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes some medicine. The medicine is for 10 days, plus rest and relaxation. Listen to me now. I'm going somewhere with this. The doctor is adamant about this. Now, we know when the doctor prescribes medicine, we do not take all of the medicine at one time. That if you do, something's wrong with you. We do not take medicine meant to be spread out over some days all at once. You see, usually the medicine says take morning, noon, and night, and take it with food and or water. And so it is that I'm asking you, listen to what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to take the 23rd Psalm like medicine. It is not fast or quick reading. Even if you know it by heart, listen, you don't tell the doctor I have taken antibiotics before, so I don't need this round of it, right? You take it as needed. And you take it over the specific amount of time in which it was given to you. And so what I want you to do right now is I want you to consider each word in every verse. And if you follow what I tell you, listen, I don't do this a lot, but I want you to follow what I tell you. I promise something will be different for the better. You see, the 23rd Psalm is one of the most dynamic scriptures ever penned. My goodness. It can have an awesome effect on your life. It can change your life. It can change the way you see life. You have to be determined, though, to spend some time with the scripture and not rush through. And that's where some of us make mistakes. Because you know it, you think you got it. Because you've seen it, because you've recited it so many times, you think that you have its complete understanding. Right? Don't say to yourself, I have this down. It's not about having it down. It's not about memorizing it. It's not about just being able to recite it on sight. This is about changing the way you think. And to do that, it takes time. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Ah! Hallelujah. Which means whatever dominates your thoughts, that is what you are. Some people value sports and always think about sports. And so that is their treasure. That's what their thoughts are always geared towards. The same can be said about money. Some people love money. All they want is money, 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 money. So everything they do is geared towards getting money. Some want material possessions, trying to keep up with the Joneses. So everything you do is about getting stuff. Some is about education. Now, I believe in education, but I know it's not the end all be all. It's whatever you focus on, that's what it is. So then watch this now. Let me drop a nugget on you. The 23rd Psalm then presents us with a pattern of thinking. Watch this now. And if you take the time to meditate on it, a new thought pattern will emerge, which leads to new actions and a different life. The thing that's so beautiful about this psalm is that it's only 118 words. That's it. So, yes, you could memorize it. You probably already have. But the power is not in the memory of the scripture. The power, what you're looking for, comes with the thoughts associated with the words in scripture. So then the power of this psalm resides in the idea that it represents a positive, helpful, faithful approach to life. We primarily believe that it was written by David. The same David who had some negative things happen in his life. Yeah, if you've had anything negative happen, you just ought to give God some glory just for about 15 seconds because he brought you out. Right? It doesn't mean that you stop. It doesn't mean that you give up. It doesn't mean that God's unchanging. It doesn't mean that you drop time, just drop out of the race. It doesn't mean that you just let go and just drift off into the sunset. No, keep going. David had some negative things in his life, But David exhibits the same characteristic as Paul in the New Testament. You see, there's something, there's a common thread throughout the Bible. And Paul says it in Philippians 3:13-14, where he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Yeah, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So you got to keep going. So I want you real quick, just tell everybody in your house, if you by yourself, just tap yourself on the shoulder, say, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. So look, as we go through this 23rd Psalm, for the next 3 weeks, I want you to feast on it every day. I want you to watch what God does in your life because you feast on it every day. So with that, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, there's this Bible scholar by the name of Charles Allen, and he tells a story. Tells a very interesting story, and it goes something like this. He says that immediately after the Second World War, the Allied armies gathered up several hungry, homeless children and placed them in large post-war facilities. Yeah, these children gathered up all these children and placed them somewhere. And at these facilities, the children were fed well, cared for well. So they had spent days, months, not being able to get cared for. And now all of a sudden they get everything that they need. But the one thing that they couldn't get a solid night's rest. They didn't sleep very good. They were restless. They were afraid. And absolutely no one could understand why. And then finally, a psychologist suggested something. A psychologist suggested that after the children were put to bed, that they be given something to eat. Watch this now. Not to actually consume it, but just to hold on to it. Let that sink down in your mind for a minute. To go from not knowing where your next meal is coming from to now you've been given everything you need, but there's something down on the inside because it's uneasy, because down on the inside, you're still not sure where your next meal is coming from. So what they did was they gave these children something to eat. Watch this now. Watch this now. They gave them something to eat, not to consume. Now, if they wanted to consume it, they could. But they gave them something that they could hold on to. Y'all see where I'm going with this. Some of y'all already shouting. I can see you already shouting. You see, holding on to food allowed the children to sleep well because they knew that when they would awake, they would have something to eat. Oh, my goodness. The assurance gave the children, a calm and peaceful rest. Y'all, come on now. In Psalms 23, David makes the same observation when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, let me explain something to you about sheep. Sheep instinctively know their shepherd has made plans for its grazing tomorrow. Watch, stay with me now. They know that the shepherd has already made extensive plans for his provision today. In other words, you don't have to worry about it because God has already set it up. My goodness, I feel myself going somewhere. I'm trying to calm down. So the sheep, watch this now. The sheep lie down in the fold. They lie down in the field with the assurance that they are going to eat. It is no doubt. It's not a maybe. It's not a suggestion. It's not a perhaps. They are going to eat. The shepherd has already established a provision for them to get something to eat. So we have to understand that this psalm does not start with a request asking God for something. Instead, it is a calm statement of fact that the Lord is my shepherd. You see, the writer is saying it, not asking. The writer is saying this, stating that the Lord is my shepherd. We don't have to beg God for nothing during a time when everybody is worried and stressed. My goodness, you don't have to beg God to take care of you. If you already he's already made establishment for you to receive what is already yours. God has already made allowance for us. He has already made arrangements for us before we even realize we have a need. Before we ever felt hot or cold, God began creating natural resources, oil and gas, to keep us comfortable. He knew you was going to be living in a house where you needed some air conditioning. He knew you was going to be in a place where you needed to be able to have some ceiling fans. He knew you would be hungry. So before man was even created, he put seed into the ground and allowed the ground to produce food that would sustain humankind. So the things that we're concerned about, God has already said, I've already taken care of it. The things that have our mind tweaking, God has already said, I've already blessed you with it. The things that we are looking forward to, that we don't know whether or not is going to come to pass, God has already said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've already made established ways for you to come out of this thing. And when you begin to understand that the Lord has kept you and blessed you and made ways out of no ways and put things in your place before you even got to the place where you could receive the manifestation of his blessing, God said, I've already done it.